Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. Don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Pain, the trial.
The pain, the trial God has given.
You don't know.
You don't know my story. You don't know the day he
came. I was at my lowest.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
stand. But God has been faithful.
Oh, God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave me.
My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance
is.
Oh,
Tomorrow and then Thursday. Oh, glory. Mary. Somebody say Thursday. Thursday we gonna have our very own Dr. Winston Singleton Jr. all the way from Los Angeles, California. He's gonna summarize the entire book of Acts. You don't want to miss that. Anybody that have heard Dr. Singleton know he'll go from Genesis to Revelation in a matter of 30 minutes. So you don't want to miss tomorrow with the prophet and then on Thursday as we close out. Amen. So we're looking for God to really, really move. Amen. So with no further ado, amen. I don't see too many people on the line. Y'all better call them. Pastor Beatrice Martin, amen. I was in a meeting, Pastor Beatrice, and I just want to apologize. I should have gotten everything together last night, but I had a lazy day after coming off that retreat, and I just was pushed for time today getting that fly out on the social media and everything. But God knows those that are on the line. He knows those that need this word. So we're going to go forward. So we thank God for Pastor Beatrice Martin. Amen. I tried to send out a blast text, but I just was late today and I couldn't, the internet wouldn't connect. And I had my good friend Pastor Carmelie with me, and we're sitting in the car. Am I correct?
Amen.
At a McDonald's. I had to pull up the studio, so y'all pray for us. Amen. So we, nevertheless, we have Pastor Beatrice's line open, and we're going to let her come on. Amen. We're on Acts chapter 25 today. We're concluding this series, the Acts of the Apostles. So I'm going to let Pastor Beatrice come on and open up with the word of prayer. And whatever the Lord have laid on our heart today, I pray that it will bless you, as I am certainly happy about eating on today. So God bless you, woman of God. We love you.
God bless you. I love you, too. I just thank and praise God. I count it a blessing and an honor to be able to share the word that God has in my heart. Father, I pray that your word will go down into our hearts like a seed. But Father, you said in your word that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You said now faith comes to things hoped for and evidence the things not seen. Father, you said this book of the law should not be taught out of our mouth. Then shall we have good success, then shall we make our way prosperous. Father, you also said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Father, we thank you for giving us this day our daily bread. Father, we thank you for the book of Acts, which is the book of Acts. Father, I thank you for all those that spoke before me, all those that are speaking after me. Father, I just thank you for anointing this night for your glory and honor. Father, I ask that you use me, that you speak through me. Bring clarity, oh God. Bring revelation, oh God. I'm depending and relying upon you, Holy Spirit, to come in and have your way. God, I give you the glory. God, I give you the honor and I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God is good. We're going to start off with Acts chapter 25, starting at verse 1, as Paul appears to Caesar. Amen. 3 days after Festus arrived in Syria to take over his new responsibility, he left for Jerusalem, where the chief priests and other Jewish leaders got a hold of him and gave them their story by Paul. They begged him to bring Paul to Jerusalem at once. Their plan was to ambush him and kill him. But Festus replied that since Paul was at Syria and he himself was returning there soon, those with authority in affairs should return him for the trial. Now, I just have to read that one more time. Now, when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Syria into Jerusalem. Then the high priest, the chief men of the Jews, informed him about Paul, and they petitioned him and asked in favor against him that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there's any fault in him. Amen. So here we see they wanted Festus to send Paul to Jerusalem for a trial because they was planning on to ambush him, to kill him. They was ready to kill Paul even before he got there. They already was setting him up. You know, and they had so much bitterness in their heart and so much malice. Malice is the kind of thing that will kill a person. They had so much malice in their heart, they wanted to harm him. They had an evil intent for him. You know, we got an enemy that's called the devil that has malice in his heart for a child of God. But even though they had plotted and planned against him, we see that no weapon was formed against him prospered because the Sadducees did not like Paul. They hated Paul because Paul believed in the death and the resurrection of Christ. They hated Paul because Paul was telling them that Jesus was not dead, he was yet alive. They hated him because he believed in the resurrection. But here, the apostles were saying that he found no evil in Paul. Let us remember that when we're standing up for Jesus Christ, he'll always stand up for us. Because God said he's more than the world against us, is God before us. But over there in chapter 23, I remember the Lord telling Peter, before Peter even got to this situation, that he told Peter, and I'm standing by your side, Peter. He said, and what you getting ready to face, I'm going to be there with you. He was letting Peter already know, I know the enemy's out to plot to get you, but he was telling Paul to be of good cheer. For as you testify for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness of me in Rome. And I'm telling you, when people are coming against you, I want you to know to be of good cheer because God is with you. God is for us, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're going to get by Jesus and encourage Paul even before this ambush was taking place, even before the enemy was plotting against him. Jesus had already told him that this is what they call encouragement. He was just already had encouraged Paul and told him that he was going to stand with him. And this is what God wanted to do as the people of God. When the people come against us, he wanted to be encouraged. Why? Because we're under the sovereign care of God. And even though Paul was in chains, they couldn't chain up the gospel. He was still under the care of God. And we must remember as the people, as the women of God, as the children of God, even though people are coming against us, we still are protected by God. Amen. So here we see in chapter 25, and when he had remained among more than 10 days, he went down to Syria the next day, sitting on the judgment seat. He commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come to the Jews that came down from Jerusalem, stood about and made many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anyone at all. Paul stood up boldly, and he spoke up from himself. Amen. How many of us know that we have the Holy Spirit in us that will speak up boldly and will give us the word to say? Paul answered him and said, while he answered him for himself, he said, neither was I against the law, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. What did I do? Why are you coming against me? How many of us know that we don't have to do nothing when the devil come against us, when the enemy come against us? A lot of times we don't do nothing. Then there's some of us that do something. But I beg the difference if you're living right and you speaking up for God and ain't nothing, no attack coming against you. Amen. But Paul boldly stood and he addressed him. He said, hey, I didn't do nothing. But Festus was waiting to do the Jews a favor. And Paul said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. How many of us know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of God where we're going to be judged on how we handle different situations? What I love about Paul is how he handled the situation while he was in it. Amen. So Paul said, I've done no wrong, as you very well know, for I am an offender and have committed anything deserving of death. I do not object to dying, but if there is nothing in me of which these men accuse me, no man can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Paul knew that everything that he had learned was for his good, and he knew his right. And how many of us know we know our right as children of God? We know that if we hold our peace, God will fight our battle. We know that when the enemy come in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. We know when the enemy come in one way, God will cause him to flee in seven different directions. We know that the Lord is the light of our salvation. Whom shall we fear? We know that the Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? See, back in the Romans day, when it was suited his need, Paul used his status as a Roman citizen to frustrate the adversary. How many of us know we got enough power and enough word in us to frustrate the enemy when he comes against us? How do you frustrate the enemy? You frustrate the enemy with the word of God. And Paul knew that he could frustrate the enemy. His citizenship made him a king. It made him a governor. It made him a soldier, most of all, a soldier in the army of the Lord. And it made him a priest as a Roman. And Jews all think twice about their intended action towards him because they knew he was a king. He knew he was a governor. They knew he was a soldier. He knew he was a priest. Most of all, they knew he was a Roman. And the Romans knew he was a Jew. All things twice. They thought about this twice, their action towards him. But what did it do when they came up against him? Their plot and their plan fell to the ground. Why? Because what it did, what it means to be, he knew what it meant to be a Roman citizen. You got to know what it means to be a child of the Most High God. See, the devil can mess with you when you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to know that you're a royal priesthood. You got to know that you're an heir to the throne. You got to know that you're a child of the Most High King. See, you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. The Roman Empire at that time was reigning in power in them days. Being a citizen of the empire carried out certain rights and responsibilities in a tax. A citizen was liable for Roman property taxes and municipal taxes, but also had the right to vote in Rome. Although during Paul's time, in different social classes, it had a different right. A Roman citizen was guaranteed a fair trial. And Paul knew that. How many of us know as children of God, we are guaranteed a fair trial? And even though he was guaranteed a fair trial, and he was protected against certain forms of harsh punishment. See, as a Roman citizen, you could not be executed without a trial. You could not be crucified except by the order of the imperial. A citizen couldn't even appeal to Caesar in order to be tried in Rome. So Paul was born a Roman citizen, but how his family gained that citizen is unknown. I looked it up. It's very unknown. There were several ways to become a Roman citizen. Being born to a Roman parent was one way. Retiring from a Roman army was another way. Citizens could be guaranteed by the imperial of a Roman general to an individual or even to an entire group. And finally, a person could purchase citizenship. The empire of Rome was so powerful that few wished to incur a wrath by breaking its law. Because if you break the law, they will punish you. Paul was intelligent enough to know all of his rights. I said Paul was intelligent enough to know all of his rights. You got to know your rights as a child of God. We know our wrongs, but do you know your rights? Amen. So we have to know our rights. And he used these rights not for the Roman advantage, but for God's advantage. Not only did his right as a Roman citizen save his life in dangerous situations, they also allowed him to carry out the gospel. That's why Paul was saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He was able to carry out the gospel message. He was able to carry the message out to the jailers. He was able to carry it out to the shipmate. He was able to carry it out to the king. He was able to carry it out to the imperial Rome. That's in chapter 25, verse 11. He was able to carry it out. See, they locked him up in chains, but they couldn't lock up the gospel. So Festus was wanting the Jews' favor. But Paul knew who he was in Christ, not only standing as a Roman citizen, but he knew who he was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, he answered, you have appealed to Caesar. Caesar, you shall go. Amen. He told him, you want to go to Caesar? Well, to Caesar, there you will go. And then going down to chapter 25, starting at verse 23, he said to the imperial at verse 21, Paul appeared to Caesar. So I ordered him back to jail until I could arrange to get him to the imperial. He said, I'd like to hear this man myself, Agrippa said. He said, Agrippa said, King Agrippa said, I would like to hear this man myself. I'm curious about this man. I would like to hear what he has to say for myself. How many of us know that people are curious about God but don't want to have no part of him? They want to know about Christians, but they don't want to have a part of a Christian lifestyle. And here he was curious about Paul. And Festus replied, you shall see him tomorrow. So the next day after the king Bernice arrived in the courtroom with great accomplishment of military officials, and he was around some VIPs, y'all. He's around a whole lot of important people. But Jesus is the biggest VIP. They were surrounding Paul. I'm going to bring it down and all that, just like he was a superstar. In fact, he was a star because Jesus Christ was a superstar. They were surrounding him in a courtroom and looking at him, trying to make him out. He felt I know in my heart he didn't feel like a little spectacle. But sometimes when we stand in front of judges and people that got a lot of wisdom and people that got a lot of intelligence, they have a tendency of making us feel less than who we are. But guess what? God said he'll take the foolish things to confound the wise. Then Festus addressed his audience. And he said, this man whose death is demanded both by the local Jews and those in Jerusalem. His death has been demanded. But see, it's a good thing that in that time that Jesus, God allowed Festus to come into the office at the time. See, God knows how to replace people and put them in the right place at the right time. Because see, in that time, Felix was in the office, and the Jews hated Felix, and they wrote letters to Felix, trying to demand that Paul be Felix be replaced. But what Festus did was God put Festus in the office at the right place and at the right time. And so what happened here was when he stood before all of them, Festus addressed the audience, and King Agrippa and all of them was present. This man whose death is demanded both by the local Jews and by those in the ruler. But he said, in my opinion, he has done nothing worthy of death. How many of us know the same was done to our Savior, Jesus Christ? Come on. And however, he appealed to his case to Caesar, and he said, I have no alternative but to send him. But what should I write, Imperial? He said, for this, no real charge against him. That's the second time he said, I see no charge against him. Come on. But what shall I write to the imperial? Then he stands before them again. And then he said, King Agrippa, I examine him and tell me what to write. For it doesn't seem reasonable to send a prisoner to the imperial without any charge against him. I find no fault in him. The same thing was said about our Lord and Savior. Amen. I find no fault in him. What do I write? I want you to know that Jesus finds no fault in you. When Jesus dropped the charges, can the devil in hell pull him up your path? Can the devil in hell come against you when Jesus dropped all your charges? But now I kind of feel for Paul because I remember when Paul was persecuting a Christian. And now that Paul changed sides, now the haters, come on, are persecuting Paul. How many of y'all know you got haters out there? Ain't everybody going to celebrate your conversion? Ain't everybody going to celebrate you? They're going to tolerate you. Ain't everybody going to be in the court for you? But I could feel Paul when he was standing in a courtroom. I know he must have said, if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. So they all were surrounding him, saying up the period out of charge against him. And Festus is saying, I find no charge against him. Then Agrippa said to Paul, go ahead, tell your story. So here we see where Paul had haters. Being a child of God, I remember when Paul was on the Sadducee side, see, and the Sadducees are sad, you see, and they came against him. They was against Jesus Christ. Come on. They was against the resurrection. But Paul, just like Jesus told him to be a good cure, stand by your side. How many of us know when we're going through, we have to take a stand for Christ? We can't take down from what the Lord give us. God, give us to say something. We have to say it. Amen. How do? What I want to know is when conspiracy come up against you and folk lying on you and folk talking about you and folk coming against you, how do you respond? I love the way Paul responds. When you're being treated unfairly, how do you respond? Will you respond with the right attitude, or will you cuss somebody out? How will you, or will you go in there and get your bat, or will you go in there and get your gun, or will you go in there and get your pepper spray? How will you respond when somebody come up against you? Matthew, the 5th chapter says, blessed are they that persecute you for righteousness, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Blessed are they that persecute you for righteousness, for great is your reward in heaven. I like that Paul had the proper response to injustice. When you respond the proper way to injustice, God will give you justice. But Paul remembered the words of God. When people are coming against us, we must remember the words of God. We must use God's word. We must stand on God's word. We must remember that God will vindicate his people. Amen. I know that felt like a slap in the face to Paul. I was reading Psalm 3, and it says, oh, Lord, so many are they that are against me. So many seek to harm me. I have so many enemies. So many say that God will never help me, but Lord, you are my shield and my glory and my only hope. You alone can lift my head. Now I bow in shame. I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me from this temple in Jerusalem. Then I lay down and slept in peace and woke up safely, for the Lord was watching over me. And now also 10,000 enemies surround me on every side. I am not afraid. I will cry to him, arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. And he will slap them in their face for insulting him and break their teeth. For salvation comes from the Lord, and what joy he gives to all his people. How many of us know the enemy may feel like the enemy is slapping you in their face? I know it must have felt like a big slap in the face to Paul, lifting up the name of Jesus and people coming against him to kill him. But through it all, Paul, all I want to do is give you Jesus. Can you keep that right attitude when people come against you? Yeah, you say what you feel, but say what you want to say. Jesus is alive and he's not dead. All I want to do is give you Jesus. Amen. It felt like a slap in the face, but ain't no slap like a slap when God slapped the enemy upside his head for bothering a child of God. Amen. But it was Paul that they were coming against. But I like how Paul stood his course. He never left. He stood up for God. And in the stand for Christ, Christ took a stand for him. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready to close. I close with this. Paul, one thing about Festus, he had a problem. He didn't know how to write a letter because he didn't understand what was going on with Paul and why the Jewish leaders hated him so much. But even God will put a word in the enemy's mouth. God will have somebody speak up for you. Festus stood up and he made a declaration that I find no guilt in this man. I don't see nothing wrong that he done. Romans 8, verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. Our light afflictions, Paul said, are only but for a moment. So I close with this. But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in perishable containers. That is in our weak body. Everyone can see the glorious power within us. It be from God and not of our own. We are pressed on every side in trouble, but not crushed. Broken, we are perplexed. But because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down by God. We are hunted down, but God never abandoned us. We are kicked, we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Remember when they knocked Paul off the rocks off the mountain, but he kept up? He got up, shook the dirt off of him, and kept on going. People may be coming against you, making false accusations, throwing dirt all over you, but you got to knock the dirt off and keep on going. These body of ours are constantly facing death, just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it's only the living Christ within us who keeps us safe. God is your protector when you're going.
today, girl.
Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say that God is our refuge and our fortress, and our God in him will he trust. Surely he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. That's why we ain't got to be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day. Yes, we live under constant dangers our life because we serve the Lord. You ain't going to go through nothing like you go through when you're serving the Lord. We were soldiers for the devil. And whenever you leave the devil and turn your back to the world, you best believe those haters are coming after you. But haters will make you greater. That's why God said there's a greatness inside of you. And greater works will you do. You, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, we live under constant dangers in our life because we serve the Lord. But this gives us constant opportunity to show forth the power of Jesus Christ. I'm not standing on my own. I'm standing in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Because of our preaching, we face death. Because of our teaching, we face death. Because of our lifestyle, living a life of Christ, we face death. But it is the result in eternal life for us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We boldly say what we believe and trust in God to care for us. Come on. Yes, as the songwriter did when he said, I believe, therefore I speak. We know the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from the dead will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us unto him along with you. These sufferings of our, for our benefit. We ain't suffering for nothing. It's benefits behind suffering. My God, did that go over your head? I said, child of God, we ain't suffering for nothing. It's benefits behind suffering for God. And the more you are, who the more of you who are one to Christ, the more they're to thank him for his great kindness. And the more the Lord is glorified, the more people we win to Christ. It ain't about you. It's all about Jesus. The more he get the glory. That is why we never give up. Paul didn't give up, and his soul didn't give in, and his soul didn't turn back. He was converted. And when you convert it, you can't turn back. No matter what.
Come on, come on.
It might be your family. It might be your children. It might be your friends. It might be your family. It might be sickness. It might be your circumstances. It might be what you're going through. But don't give up. Don't get in. Don't turn back.
Don't give up.
Don't let the devil turn you out.
Ah,
don't you let
Jesus.
That devil turn you out. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength. In your weakness, that's when your strength made perfect. In our weakness in the world, we was weak. We didn't have no strength. But now, isn't that amazing how Paul say, though the outward man perish, my inward man is renewed day by day. Though he's slain, yet when I trust him, come on. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution our family or sweat or negative? As it is written for our sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counting
for the
matter.
Counting our sheep for the flock.
We are more than conquerors.
We're more than conquerors.
We're triumphant. We're victorious.
Yes.
Because we got Christ inside of us. And we have a resurrection power. And that resurrection power called the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And he gives us that Holy Ghost boldness.
Yes.
That's why we never give up. These troubles and our sufferings, after all, are quite small compared to what Jesus went through. Quite small compared to what Paul went through. Quite small compared to what our brothers and sisters in Christ went through. Blood and water. Come on. What we're going through is nothing compared to what they went through for us. That's why we're here. My God.
Hallelujah.
And God's richest blessing upon us forever. So we do not look at what we can't see right now. The troubles all around us. But we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. Troubles will soon be over. But the joy to come will last forever.
Forever.
Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of might.
Be strong in the Lord. Come on.
God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's deep.
demons coming out of people that's coming up against you. You're wrestling against principality, spiritual weakness in high places. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil days.
Yes,
can you stand in these last and evil days? Then Paul said, oh yeah, oh, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down the
strongholds. Yes,
now, Paul knew who he was in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
Do you know who you are? It doesn't matter
who you
stand up against. They may have all the riches in the world. He was standing around wealthy people. But the Bible even says, how can a camel go through an eye of the needle? What would it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Paul was looking at the soul and the state they were in. He had to go preach to the rich too. He had to go preach to the better, so God can make them better. He had to go preach to them too. You got to realize, when the enemy come up against you, it's for a reason. He come to shut you down.
Shut you down.
When trials and tribulation hit your household, hit your baby, hit your job, hit your grandkids, hit your mother, hit your family. When the devil come up against you, yeah, you standing strong, but what about when it hits your family? Can you still stand strong? What about when they making false accusations against you? They did Jesus. Can you still take a stand for Christ? I just want you to know that. To me, Paul is truly a soldier in the army of the Lord. I thank him for all that he went through for us.
Yeah,
because now
he's
preaching what he's living. It doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter if you're in the courthouse and you're telling the truth and the judge is believing a lie. God is that judge over the judge. He's got a whole heart in his hand, and he can turn it any way he wants. God is in control, even when everything seems out of control. But this is what I like about Paul in closing. He remembered what Jesus said to him, even before he went through what he went through. God gave us the word of God before we went through what we went through. And he gave us the word of God, and he told us to use it as a sword against the enemy. You got to remember the word of God in your hard times and in your hardship. You got to endure hardship as a good soldier. Ain't that not what Paul said? Come on. You got to learn how to endure everything and circumstances you're going through. You got to remember the words of Jesus. You got to remember that you have the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick. Paul was a candlestick in the courtroom, shining for the glory of God. You got to remember not to allow the enemy to put out the light of Christ in your life. And keep on preaching Jesus. And keep on telling people that God is not dead. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And he's alive in me. Come on. And he's alive. He's sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father. You got to keep on lifting up the name of Jesus. Like Paul said, no, that our light of fellowship only for a moment. Paul took his pen. They chained him up, but they couldn't chain up the gospel. He took his pen and he wrote under the anointing. Hallelujah. And that was Paul that blessed God even while he was in the prison cell. And we're not going through half of what they went through in that day. Will you take a stand for Christ when you have to appeal before the Caesars and the Felix of this world? When you got to stand in the arena of haters and people that come in against you, will you know what your right is as a child of God? Even though they may seem like they're sitting on a judgment and sitting up higher than you and looking down on you, you got to remember God said he'll make you above and not beneath, he'll make you the head and not the tail. You got to remember when God says, you got to remember to lift your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. You got to remember, no matter who's around me and what position they hold, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen.
Wow.
God bless you.
Woo, Jesus. Wow, wow, wow. Those of you that just tuned in, Y'all got to go back and hear his word. Glory. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 25. You were listening to Pastor Beatrice Martin. Wow, that's all I could say. Wow. What a word. God always give us what we need. Amen. Glory to God. What a word. Amen. She said we got to fight. We're in a fight. Amen. Every day we have to contend for the faith. Every day we, glory to God. We got to know that God is not allowing us to go through the afflictions, and he don't make a way for us to escape. Hallelujah. It's in your belly. Rivers of living water. Glory to God. Flowing out your belly. What a word. Amen. We have about 8 or 9 callers on the line. We're going to open up the lines. The woman of God done preached. Amen. All I can say is amen to God. Glory to God. I'm going to go to, I think this is her daughter, Leslie, on the line. Let me open up Leslie's line if you have any questions. Amen. If you have any questions, you have any prayer requests, or you just like to make a comment, you're welcome to do so at this time. Sister Leslie, God bless you. All right. Now this line is acting up. Come on, open up a line. Open up the line. Open up the line. Open up the line. Now you see that? It's all good, though. We going to carry on. Amen. I'm trying to get these lines open. I'm on my phone line, so it's just going in and out. Amen. I see Evangelist T on the line. Glory to God. Now you see that? Pastor Beatrice, you still with us? All right. I can't get the lines to open up. You have your... Just a moment. Pastor Beatrice?
Yeah, I'm here.
You still with us? All right. I'm trying to open up the lines. This is... All right. I hear you. I see the lines are trying to open, but they're not open as of yet. All right. We're going to keep on trying. Amen. For a few more minutes. If not, if we can't open them, okay, just go back. Those of you that signed on late, go back and listen to this message. All right. In the archives. Amen. All right. I got Pastor Beatrice line open. You can't do it on yours. All right. Hallelujah. Spinning. All right. Just a moment, you all. Give me a minute. Let me try to pull this back up again. Pastor Beatrice?
Yes.
All right. That was a word. Forgive me for, you know, as the Lord speak, I move. Sometimes he's speaking that last hour. That's why you got to always be ready. The Bible said we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming. That's why we got to always be ready. Amen. So when the Lord told me, put you in my spirit, I immediately, and when I sent you that text, the Lord had put you in my spirit. I knew I had a meeting to attend early this morning, and I didn't know how long it would be, but God had put Pastor Beatrice in my spirit. So when God put somebody in my spirit, I tell you, sometimes it's at the last minute, but God always comes through. I can't even open the lines. Look at that. No website, no web connection. I'm here. You got web in your? No web. That's all right, though. We done heard the word. You all, I apologize for everything. You know, I have no controls over the airways, and you know, sometimes I was out and I wasn't in a in a stationary place. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I had internet connection, and then I lost it. So, hey, I can't even open up the lines right now. So that's all right. It was good while it lasted. Amen. So we're just going to go back to Pastor Beatrice. Amen. And we just thank God for her being ready. I thank God for this woman of God. We really need to appreciate the men and women of God that are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women of God that are sold out. Amen. That you don't see out here participating and rioting and banqueting and participating in all this nonsense that we see going on every day. If you have men and women of God that are upholding the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that are instilling good values in you, and that are praying fervently for your families, you need to appreciate them. You need to let them know how much you appreciate them. So many times we take one another for granted, and we don't know. We don't know. Debt, life and debt is in God's hand, and it's also in the power of what we speak and the power of our tongue. Amen. Tomorrow ain't promised to us, people. Give your pastors, your leaders, your parents, amen, those that are watching for your souls, those that have trained you, those that have loved on you, those that have instructed you, those that have counseled with you, give them their flowers now. Tomorrow isn't promised. We want you to keep in prayer Pastor Gloria Smith, her sister's husband, just had a heart attack. Sunday night, and dropped dead. And we were all in service at the, we were all in the culmination of this retreat on Sunday at Pastor Gloria's church. And her sister, she prayed for her sister and spoke some prophetic words to her sister. The husband wasn't there. But how about that same day? Before Pastor Gloria could even get out of Louisiana to drive back to North Carolina, before she could leave, drop dead, heart attack and drop dead. So let us not take life for granted. Let us not take life for granted. Life is precious. It's precious. I apologize. I'm sorry we can't get the lines open today, but I have Pastor Carmelite here with us, and I'm going to let her have some words to impart to you all on the day. Then we'll go back to Pastor Beatrice. Amen. Pastor Carmelite.
Thank you, Pastor Adrian. Good evening, Pastor Beatrice. I just want to say God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. That word was so, so powerful, so rich, so anointed, and especially when you can look back and see how God has used that very same scenario in your life when I went through this season of people just scandalizing my name and lying and doing all manner of evil, and God just kept saying, don't say a word. I'm your vindicator, and I will contend for you. So that just blessed me so much, and I just love when, you know, when we go through these lessons, because I failed them many times, but this last time I decided to let God be God. And so I thank you. Thank you so much for that word. Thank you, and I pray that God continues to bless your ministry. I'm so grateful for this connection, because I just know that we have to know who we are connected to. We have to know that the connections in our life, they're going to bring destruction or they're going to bring direction. Thank God for Pastor Adrian, and I thank God for you, woman of God, and I so enjoyed that word. God bless you. God bless your ministry. God bless your family, and I'm so grateful for that word today. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
Amen,
Lord,
amen.
We can't pay for these words. We can't pray for this precious time. We take time for granted. just as well as we take one another for granted. Appreciate the people that God has assigned for your life and to your life. Amen. Amen. I just love Pastor Beatrice. I tell you, anytime we call upon her, she's there. Anytime we ask anything of her, you know, she never murmur or complain or make no excuses. If she can, she say, I can. And if she can't, you know, she said, I can't. I have this, you know, she'll kind of give you a little of what's going on. Amen. So I just praise God for the women and men of God that God have graced for my life in this season and the seasons to come. I tell you, I sit here with tears in my eyes because I marvel at what God will do for those that submit their lives to him, that they submit, amen, everything that they say, everything that they do, it's all about Jesus, and that's the name of our ministry. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What have we done for him? Amen. We praise God and we say we worship God and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But when our brothers and sisters are standing in need, you know what? If you shut up your bowels of compassion, you're doing it to Jesus. You're doing it to Jesus. So we got to come on in, people of God. It's time for us to love on one another. It's time for us to be supportive of one another. It's time for us to encourage each other. Amen. Paul didn't go through all that he went through. Amen. To continue in that same vein? No. He said, I heard a voice from heaven. Nobody else heard the voice. Paul said, I heard it. But they knew he was blinded. Huh? They knew that the scales had to be removed from his eyes. But nobody hears what God speak to you. But people are going to judge you on what they see. They're looking for something visual. So if you act crazy, they're going to put you in the category as being crazy. But if they see your light shining, Pastor Beatrice, if you show them that, guess what? For God I live and for God I die, I'm going to walk holy before these folks. The Bible said don't let your good be evil spoken of. Sometimes you feel like slapping somebody. Sometimes you feel like saying, hey, wait a minute now. You got me twisted. You don't know who I am. You know, people think because God has dealt with you and God has brought you into this marvelous light, they think they could just do you any kind of thing. But that's not so. Jesus, God said, them that I love are chastened. So if God chastens us, guess what? And you're sitting upon the leadership, then you should be able to endure correction, to endure rebuke. Take it, because it's going to make you. It ain't going to break you. It's going to make you. Amen. Anything that's broken, you know it can be mended. But when you make something, when you create something, it's able to sustain whatever it is you need to go through. So, people of God, we just want you to pray that you all will go back and listen to some of these messages. When you're in your quiet time, you're not so busy, go into the archives and pull out some of those messages. Before we dismiss, I just feel Minister Democrat in my spirit, and I'm going to ask Pastor Beatrice to pray for him. I've been praying for him. We haven't heard from him since September last year, and that's just not like him. Amen. So I'm praying that all is well with him. So tune in tomorrow. We have Prophet, a mighty man of God. I tell you, go to his Facebook page. You can see some of the things that he's doing. Prophet Frank Delaney will be with us on tomorrow and on Thursday. Dr. Winston Singleton, all the way from Los Angeles, my cousin, my mentor, my friend, he'll be with us to summarize and close out this series. I kind of not hate to want to close. I'm ready to start at Acts chapter 1 again and go through it again. Amen, because this is a book of action. This is where Jesus began his reign, okay? So we just excited about what God is doing. So we thank God for the woman of God. Thank God for Pastor Carmelite. Thank God for Minister Leslie. I see Minister Cedric Bankson. I see Evangelist Doris Campbell. I have to call her. And I also see Minister Tramiel on the line, Evangelist T. Amen. Always so faithful. Amen. We praise God for you. And I couldn't see the other callers that called in. Amen. I see another area code, 209 number, and then I see another 510 area code number, but I can't see those numbers any longer. So, Pastor Beatrice, thank you. I want you to pray for Minister Democrat before we dismiss, and also I want you all to remember my sister. I'm looking for her to be in that wave talk to the attorney. They were waiting on a letter to come back before they file this paperwork, so that letter should have been in. So be praying that the Lord will bless for that letter to get sent to those attorneys where that next wave of clemency, let my sister be in that. Amen. So pray for us in Jesus' name. Pastor Beatrice.
And Lord, amen. And my final words is that when Festus laid Paul's case before the king, how many of us know that all of our cases are laid before the King of Kings? And
come
he
on.
Never lost the battle. I just thank God, you know, there's a king that rule and reign. And instead of Paul being on trial, in reality, they were really on trial. Amen. At the judgment seat of Christ. So I just thank God
come
for
on.
The King of Kings that is over us. And that rule and reign. And anybody, the enemy is the accuser of the brother, and anyone that he makes false accusations about us daily. Amen. But how many of us know he could take me to the king? Amen. Because he will fight our battles. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you that you're the King of Kings. We thank you that you are the mediator between the man of Christ Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor for the book of Acts. Father, we lift up Democrat to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. You know where he at. You see him, oh God. Put it on his heart to make a phone call. Put it on his heart to get on the line. Father, we come in touching and agreeing because you said there's nothing too hard for you. So we lay this case before you. We all of our cases. We all have things going on. But, Father, only you know how what to do with our cases. So, Father, we put that before you. We put Pastor Adrian Bernard's sister case before you, oh God. They may have forgotten about her, but you ain't forgotten about her, God. Bring her from the back to the forefront, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Put her on their heart, oh God. Put Minister Democrat, put him, Adrian Bernard, on his heart. Let him pick up the phone, oh God. Let him make a phone call, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we stand boldly before you, where people are making false accusations, where people are coming against us, Father, we thank you that you are not the author of confusion, because you said if we are all at peace, you will fight our battle. So, Father, as we be encouraged and be of good cheer, you said lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, all ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. God, as you dispatch your ministering angel around the air of salvation. God, as you fight our battles. God, as we walk in integrity, as Paul did, as we walk in boldness, as we walk and be courageous, as we walk and be of good cheer, as we walk and we respond with the word of God. God, you said you hasten to perform your word, and that your word don't go out, Lord. So we decree and declare your word over every situation, prayer request known and unknown. Oh, God, we put our case before you. And, God, we give you all the glory and the honor and praise. If we take a stand for you, you'll take a stand for us. God, if we stand before the judgment seat, oh, God, it's all about making it in where you're as we pray for Pastor Gloria's family and loved ones and members, oh God. We put everything in your hand, oh God. We put it in your hand, God, and we thank you in exchange for peace that passes all understanding, that keep our heart and mind through Christ Jesus, because you are our peace that has broken down every wall. We give you the glory. We give you the honor and praise. We seal the matter under the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. I just seen a text from my cousin Roni. She had to go to court in the morning. Hallelujah. With her housing. So we want you all to lift up Verona. Hallelujah. Tomorrow morning. Hey, glory to God, Lord God. I'm asking you right now, God. Intervene right now, God. Go before, Lord God, and make the way. Hallelujah. Make the way, God. Let her not have to pay nothing no more than what she needs to get from one place to the other, God. In the name of Jesus, let everything work out. According to your will, God. Give her fame, my God. And every dollar that she needs to make the move, let it happen. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Prophetess Theodore Glover to you right now, God. I'm asking you to go to Atlanta, Georgia right now, God, and touch my cousin, God. Touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Heal in every area of her body, God. Oh, God, and even encourage her in her heart. God, oh God, oh God, we can't do ministry sick. Hallelujah, we can't do ministries if we ailing in our health. Lord God, you have an assignment for her, God, and it's not finished yet, God. So I'm asking you to touch our body, God, touch our mind, touch our spirit, touch our soul, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you and we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Hey, you know, Messiah. Hallelujah. All those, God. Hey, you know, the Messiah. All those that are standing in need, God. Those that are sick, God. I pray for my mother today, God. Continue to touch her, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, remember the speaker today, God. Remember Pastor Carmelie today. Remember the bereaved family of Pastor Gloria Smith, God. Remember our sister Carolyn, who lost her husband, God. Hallelujah. Comfort that family, God. Hallelujah. Bless the children and the grandchildren, God. Oh, God, for every tear that they shed, God. Oh, let it be a tear of encouragement, God, to let somebody know, God, that to tomorrow is not promised to them, God. You said the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, God. I pray for Apostle Frank Delaney that is coming on tomorrow. I pray for Dr. Winston Singleton that's coming on Thursday, God. I pray for every listener, God. I pray for all those that go back into the archives and listen to these words. I hear the Messiah. These words that will uplift them. These words that will encourage them. These words that will instruct and lead and guide them. God, we're asking you to continue to bless them, God. We thank you for Mother Charity, God. Thank you for all the mothers that come and grace us on this line, God. Those that we haven't seen, God, I pray for Sister Cammy right now, God. Oh, God, turn situations around in our life, God. Oh, open up some doors for her, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I pray for Pastor Coleman Lee's son and his wife, and pray for our daughter, Kiana, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You know everything that she's standing in need of, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up today, God. We give you the glory, God. We can't do nothing without you, Jesus. Without you, God, we would fail. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory today. Amen, amen. God bless you all. We're not able to close out with a song or nothing today. Amen. But remember tomorrow, if you want to hear a mighty man of God, get on this line on tomorrow. And those of you, you already know Dr. Singleton. Amen. We're going to conclude this series, The Acts of the Apostles, on Thursday. So God bless you. We're looking to see you on tomorrow. Remember Bishop-elect Clifton Lott in your prayers. Amen. God bless you. We love you with the love of God. We'll see you on tomorrow. Call in early. The man of God going to be right up. And we're going to get right on off the line. Amen. Amen. So call in early and hear the conclusion. We're winding down to the conclusion. Amen. God bless you. We love you.